Hey, this is the Anything But Quiet Time podcast. We're Rochelle and Carter, and we are so grateful every single time we see a comment.
Yeah.
Even if it's not a nice one.
Well, you didn't have to say that.
I actually, and that's not truthful. Yeah. I'm not grateful for that, but it's nice because we feel that this is a conversation that we can continue to have, not just with each other, but with you. And so if there's ever a time that maybe a subject, you're like, I'd love for them to talk about this. Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, leave it on the YouTube video, or if you're listening, I don't think Spotify, you can leave comments, but Apple, leave a comment on a rating. You can leave a comment. Okay. We appreciate a 5-star rating for that matter. But it's very interesting. The shorter, the clips of ours, the YouTube shorts, they get a lot of comments.
They do.
Like the long videos, the full videos, and the audio always gets clearly people listen.
Yeah.
These are comments that people listen all the time. The shorts will get video comments from crazy stuff.
I love that the people who edit those videos are finding the most triggersome.
Yeah.
content.
Yeah. So if you ever want to find some interesting comments, they're certainly there in the shorts.
Interesting. Yeah. But I can't go through them.
No,
the comment
section.
I'm not one of those people. So you'll have to go through the comments. I'm asking people to leave a comment.
And there are some that asks, it's been like an atheist saying you're wrong and here's why.
Oh, okay.
And so it is interesting theologically. It's just always not posed with very nice language, right?
The way you said it, I would love to have a conversation with that particular person. But because of the innuendo generally surrounding those types of things, and there is no, and this is the way the world is working right now. It's text message only.
Right. I don't think a lot of people that type it would have the conversation.
No.
Some would. Someone would sit here right here and say, no, I'll challenge you.
And they might.
Yeah.
But because we live in a texting world where it's not even a full sentence anymore, they're getting straight to the nitty gritty. They're not putting flowery language like, dear sir, might I take you upon that? I have a thing to bring up and I don't like, you know,
yes.
Like anybody ever in the United States.
I was
going to
say,
like
I'm
that.
Glad we don't do that anymore. Since what you just did. Yeah.
Since the 1700s.
You had a very interesting time in traffic the other day.
I did.
And this is a story. It shows how God shines in the hard times, but it's also very comical.
I want to note the comical look right now that you're giving me. You are talking right now as if you were talking to a preschooler that you're trying to help.
It's
understand.
Very funny.
You see, this was...
If you think about it, it's kind of, you were laughing when you told
it. But you made me also think that this could be a children's book just from your face right now.
There you go. Okay, write it.
So we are coming back from dropping off a rental. My husband and I are in a minivan, and this little van has gotten us through a couple of states, actually, okay? So we've had her a while. She's a her.
I
didn't name her. Okay. I usually name the cars.
Yeah.
But the van eludes me. Maybe it's just a grandma.
All right.
Anywho, she's gotten us through a lot and took her to the shop. They fixed her up, or so we thought. Mm. And nope, that alternator just didn't want to love on us back. So here we are driving home from the airport, having just dropped off a perfectly good car. Yeah, that one hurts. And then we get stuck. Carter, it's 5:00. Houston, Texas. It's right there by the airport.
Where are you stuck at? What lane?
We're in the middle lane.
Oh, man.
About to get, there's an overpass and just, So we're sitting there, and what's really funny is that my husband in these times has thought, I will have an emergency toolkit available.
Yeah.
With jumper cables and a first aid kit and the little triangle that has reflectors on it so that if oncoming traffic is coming.
It's like a cone type of.
You should know. We are here. We are stuck. You can see us. Yes.
Well,
go around.
It's perfect. Then you're ready for it. You're prepared.
Exactly. Because our emergencies weren't working. It's an electric system.
Okay. All right.
And I said, oh, the emergency kit. And he goes,
nah. Nah.
Nah.
Why nah?
It wasn't even a nah. It was less than a nah. Nah. He put less effort than a nah. It was eh.
What was this reaction?
I don't know, except maybe I do after I climb over the seats to get to the emergency kit in the back part of grandma. And I pull this emergency kit out. And, I mean, thankfully, our windows are tinted, so you can't see this, you know, in her 40s woman climbing in ways that my bones should probably be breaking at this point.
Yeah, right, right.
Anyway, I get the toolkit up there, and I'm like, see? Here's the triangle. And... Sammy. He put the hood up with a minivan. You can't see anything past the back bumper.
Yeah.
You can't tell the hood is up.
Right, right.
But this triangle.
So you're going to do this?
This tiny, insignificant, nobody can see.
Is it taller than the wheel?
No.
Oh.
it's like this tall. Maybe. It's so small. We are suckers for this emergency toolkit. We got had.
Yeah.
But that's not even the point, Carter. The point is my husband had a purpose for it. This is why we spent our money. This is what we're going to use this for. This was what it was made for. And he's like, eh. So I get out of the car. I'll do it. You want me to do it? I have no shame. I'm not embarrassed. I get out of the car suddenly, instantly. I am now ashamed and embarrassed because I realize no one's going to see this. Especially the lady who's been sitting behind us for the last three lights on TikTok. Talking about her influencing whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put the triangle right there in front of her. She's not going to see it. Anyway, we got a tow truck. Thankfully, Dakota came to the rescue, appreciated him and his service. And we got to talking with Dakota, and I think this is where the silver lining comes into play. He just starts sharing with us. He's a tough guy. You can tell this guy's lived his life. He used to be an oil. And then I realized this tough guy has a really soft, tender heart for his mom. His mom got ill, and it was almost to the day, the 6th anniversary of her passing. Mm. And he shared with thus the as much as you can within a trip, you know, about cancer and the memories that he had of his mother. He had so many wonderful memories, but he can't seem to place those as well as he has that image of her. And you who dealt with cancer firsthand and maybe have lost a loved one and they have passed from that, they don't look like themselves anymore, depending on, you know, the state
sure.
and the stage. But he couldn't shake that. And he's talking with us, and I'm seeing his two beautiful daughters that are on his phone. Every time he gets a text, it brightens up, and I'm able to ask him about his kids. And I just was like, we got to pray for this guy. We got to pray for this guy. I don't know how we can fit it in. I don't want it to be overbearing. Would he be willing? The more I am driving with him, we realize quickly he is very open to talking about what is going on in his personal life. Sometimes it's easier to open up with strangers, I think, than the people that are around you. And in that moment, we were those people that he could share with. And I'm grateful we were. And God keeps bringing Dakota back to mind. But as we are going to the shop, we're dropping off grandma. We do that. And he volunteers, I can take him home. It's not a big deal. And we're driving home. And on the way home, he says, I wish somebody would pray for me like my grandma did.
Wow.
And so we prayed for him. And like I said, tough guy. But what he didn't say with words, he immediately was writing down phone numbers for my husband, cell phone, anyway, if we ever needed help. And so Dakota, I don't know if you would ever get this message, but we have continued to pray for you. We love you. Anyway, it was really a special moment.
Yeah.
And it was an open Holy Spirit moment, because as I'm thinking, you know, I'm like, Lord, would you open the door? And if this is not an open door, I mean, just you flag me in.
Yeah, sure.
Like, there were no runway lights, Carter. We right. left those behind at the airport. Yeah,
well, and you wouldn't have seen them anyway, to be honest with you.
But it was like that. The Holy Spirit was like flagging us in.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I love that. And I think, honestly, the main thing I'm bringing up today is something I just heard, a good reminder that kind of made me go, well, this is all encompassing. And I think that's a great example of we get so distracted with, you know, life things, yeah. even important things, and we forget what our mission is.
Mm.
And I would have likened it to rubbernecking, right? Maybe this is a Southern term. If you're not, you know what I mean? You're in traffic. There's the train wreck or car wreck right next to you, or somebody doing something real goofy in traffic.
Yeah.
And you're
gawking,
you're looking over and you're gawking instead of
driving,
focusing on your drive.
And you've slowed now all the traffic behind you because you're gawking. Well, the guy in front of you is probably doing it. So then you go, well, if he's doing it, I should be able to do
it. Of course. Yeah.
I waited in this long line.
And that's true, because in any situation in life, we see what other people do and how they handle the situation. And then it just becomes normal. And we take our cues from society.
Right. Instead of.
Rather than scripture.
Very good. Yeah.
And so there's a lot of things that come to mind. You know, this literally, there was a not fun event that happened in your life. And what do you have to think of? You do need to take care of your family. You do need to think about how you're going to get the car and like all the tangible things that you have to do. But it shouldn't distract you in a way, and it didn't, where, well, now I'm not even going to think about other people or care about other people because I got to finish my mission about this thing.
Yeah.
And workload at work or baseball practice schedule.
Yeah.
I have some friends, just the way the league is and how many kids and how limited practice fields are. Some of these kids are like 4 and 5 years old and their baseball practices are, dare I say, even T-ball practices are like 8:30 at night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's insane. And so they're dealing with real life circumstances. And yet we just heard an example of somebody that called our show the other day, our radio show, where this baseball community, clearly Christians, you know, on this team and parents on this team, led this person to Christ just because they were doing life together.
Yeah. The whole family.
The whole family, for that matter. And so like—
That's how they found out about Jesus, through one of those late night baseball practices.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's incredible.
Where you're worried about the play of the kids. Mm-hmm. You're worried about the snacks. You're worried about the travel. You're worried about the practice schedule. You're worried about work the next day because I have to be here to do this. And yet these families dropped that mindset and stayed on mission.
Yeah. And I think it's okay if you feel the humanity in you.
Oh, sure.
Of the struggle to get to practice. I remember the soccer practice. It wasn't baseball for us. It was taking both boys to soccer practice. And it was a labor of love. And it was also everybody gets a trophy.
You know what? Which, as a millennial, I appreciate that.
Honestly, yes. I don't think anybody was really getting a trophy. I don't see anybody actually making, you know, what is it? What is the soccer?
FIFA. Oh, okay.
Nobody was making, except one kid. There was one kid.
Oh, anyway, there's one kid. One prodigy. Yeah.
But no, that's a lot. It's a labor of love.
I'm sorry. I have to say, I feel like even in a league, that's how crazy these prodigies actually are.
Yeah.
Your kid probably like went to community college. I'm just saying, you see some of these kids that are really good.
Yeah.
And then it's like, he must be, nope, they're way even better than that. Like, wow. It's crazy. So anyways, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I went to community college at one point, so appreciate that.
I'm not taking education level, same soccer talent. Yes. I didn't even go to college for sports.
I wish they could do a close-up of my face right now. See the little snarl? That's so mean.
Anyways, so the soccer family.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah. But it is a labor of love. The word labor, I mean, let's give it its due. It is a pregnant word. Mm-hmm. And when I say pregnant, I mean like even more than just the physical application of pregnancy. It's filled with what in the world is laborious. This is laborious.
Right.
It is not easy to get through traffic. It is not easy to keep a schedule.
Right.
It is not easy to be a parent. It's not easy to be married. It's not easy to maintain good friendships. Nothing that is worth having is easy. And if it's easy, I need to take a second look at whatever it is that I think is easy.
What if it's a milkshake?
I have to go run.
DoorDash.
While the soccer game is going on, I'm doing laps to try to get the milkshake off my thighs, okay? So that's a labor. But I think, because what you're talking about, that particular weekend with the car and everything, I really was close to having, and I'm not joking about this. I think you know that because I was very honest with you. I almost had a breakdown, nervous breakdown, and it was not a good, great weekend for me at all. And here we are in the middle of traffic, and I just had to laugh, you know, with the triangle that doesn't, nobody's going to see this.
Right.
This is crazy. And God had set an appointment in the middle of the road. And what's amazing about the place where we got it fixed, they didn't charge us an extra dime. They were like, you know what? We're going to send you the tow truck.
Wow.
We're going to take the cost of whatever's going on in here because we sent you home with this. They were phenomenal about it. Anyway, so you're not, God doesn't set appointments when you're at a great place generally.
Not always.
Not always,
nope.
You know?
Right.
He set appointments for Moses all throughout that time with the Israelites. It was just one thing after another. So I think, again, whether or not we say that we don't believe in a Christian life that is filled with roses all the time, for some reason, there is sort of this back of mind expectation, like, but it's still going to be great because somehow God's going to, I don't know.
Yeah. Or
like we place it out there and it's like, wait a second, do I really mean what I say?
And I think we can acknowledge, but I think that's why your example is so perfect. It's not to sit here and say your struggles really aren't that big of a deal. You know, what's the phrase? Something buttercup, suck it up buttercup.
Suck it up.
Well, you got to be a Christian anyway.
Yeah.
It's acknowledging, yeah, life stinks sometimes, right? But what you did, what you chose to do in those moments were to serve somebody else in the midst of it. And often we've even heard that with psychology, like when you get out of your own head, that it can be really even beneficial to you because you're helping serve others or whatever, or at least just not focusing on the problem.
Yeah.
And no, it's not to acknowledge and say, you know, you have to quit everything like soccer practices and all that and go live in a van. Even though it would be fun to travel around sometimes, just in a van, it'd be a lot less stressful in some ways. but you also don't have to like have this fake smile on or anything like that. Yeah. It's just the fact that where I go sometimes is when I'm in the midst of a stressor and a buddy calls up or something and says, hey, can you help me move? What I want to do, and maybe schedule, I'm not saying to overwork yourself either. I'm not trying to say always serve the other person, even if it kills you. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is my mindset goes to, dude, I got my own stuff going on right now. Yeah. Like, are you seriously going to ask me that? Like that in my head, I go there. And so it's like, figure out your stuff and I'll figure out mine and we have nothing to do. Then I can go help you. Well, it can't always be that way. Like sometimes I lay down my things be for the betterment of somebody else. Mm-hmm. And that should be my heart always, but sometimes that's literally tangibly true. And so I love that, you know, you're sitting here in this guy's cap, you don't want to be there.
Yeah.
I would have probably got on my phone and just like, wait, I'd been so mad. I would have waited. I would have got home. And yet, you know, here you are being able to have that conversation with somebody that had their stuff going on too.
I'm glad you said the choices are made because I don't think, you know, you're benevolent at birth. Clearly, God is benevolent.
Yeah.
And when I was looking at this little baby. Now, my kids are way past that stage. Ezra is not that far off. Your little guy's almost four. But I was looking at this baby in its infant seat the other day, and the grandma was just cooing at him. And he had all these little things, these little gadgets to keep his mind just at peace. And everything around him could have been a distraction. Mm-hmm. It could have been scary even. You think about all the things that babies are taking in all at once. You know, they've only known the womb for so long. And now all these things are, when they're becoming more cognizant, when their eyes are able to kind of focus in on other things. But we try to draw their attention to something that's cute and fluffy and maybe makes a noise or something. And I think of myself in those moments, back to center, that my Heavenly Father's got something for me to look at. I don't have to do. I just have to mirror who He is. He is peace. He is what this man needs, not me.
Yeah.
Am I available to be the mirror? That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm going to go right here, right now with what my friend posted.
Okay.
But I want to get back to a big overarching topic that I think can be tangible for all of us in this specific year.
Okay.
When it comes to distractions.
Mm-hmm.
But you talked about doing. And you talked about the alternative, peace and rest.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what my friend, this is more from a workout mentality.
Okay.
This person is a workout person.
Is he that guy that we don't like because he doesn't drink the chocolate milk shake you were talking about earlier?
Yeah. It's like they have like cheat day once a month, you know, that type of thing.
Oh my gosh. And then they call it cheat day instead of just Monday.
Right. That hit me deep.
Right there.
That hit me deep. That's it, right? All right. So this is just, and it's like a repost, but this is obviously what this person believes. Today, I woke up hungry. Sorry, let me rephrase that. Today, I woke up starving for more. You should be working yourself hard enough towards your life goal that you have trouble keeping up with your own ambition. You should be going so hard that each day's accomplishments become the food that fuels your existence. I read that and I'm exhausted right
now. I'm so glad that you weren't using that as like, and this is how we should be. Because I'm come to me all that are weary and I will give you rest is what I long for.
That's what came to
mind. That's what I thirst for.
That's the alternative verse. Now, here's the thing. Let's break some of this down. There's nuance, right? I love goals.
Oh, yeah.
I love striving in the healthy fashion. If it's workout stuff, that's great too.
And that's really good for your mind too. Love.
Yeah. You don't want to be so energy. Complacent Absolutely. That you're not doing anything, right? But this is, and I think maybe just because I know him, and maybe you could maybe sit here and listen to that and go, it's really not that bad. But just think about somebody that's really extreme in your life that it feels exhausting, even just with their schedule. And now, obviously, that's relative as well. For some people, that doesn't stress me out. And if it doesn't stress you out, then that's great. But I do think that we operate overall, as Christians, even sometimes specifically, that I have to do more.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that is tied spiritually. I have to do more for God.
And then you tie it to failure if you don't do the more.
Yes. Yes, exactly right.
Yeah.
Or you also have the side hustle mentality, if you will. Maybe it's not even attached to faith specifically, but you find yourself exhausted. And as my pastor's pointed out, there are benefits to side hustle. You're either making extra money or it's something like this and you have a hobby or whatever. But at what point are we taking our cues from society?
Yeah, that's good. Because that's the point where it's either healthy or unhealthy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And look at the corner of happy and healthy. That's where Walgreens wants us, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's where God wants us. Mm-hmm. Not happy per se.
Joy,
Because that's an emotion, but he created happiness.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it, but joy is something that you have to choose even when times are blue.
Yeah.
But no, and speaking from a completely physical standpoint, I remember when it was like an awakening in my later teens. I'm like, you know what? There's such a thing called nutrition facts. And you take a health class at, ironically, my community college before I went to OU.
There's nothing wrong with community college.
I feel like you've kind of.
I just stated that we think this prodigy in Little League is going to be the next Lionel Messi.
Okay.
And a lot of times.
I feel like you're over-explaining.
Well, you keep bringing it up.
Well, it's just the second. There might be a third
time. I'll wait for it,
So I was on this kick and I started thinking, this should be something everybody can attain. This is something everybody should be able to maintain. There's no excuse for this, blah, 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 blah. And this is me, not even in my 20s. I know everything. If you've ever lived in that time frame of your life and you've thought those types of things.
Yeah, you had one philosophy class and you came back to your family and schooled
them. Plato is an idiot.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So I have lived some life since then. And even with my own parents, there have been so many setbacks because of health issues. And so they had a goal and they set the goal. And all of a sudden now I have breast cancer. You know, and now I'm dealing with what else? I have there's a heart issue now, and then there's this and there's that. And listening to what the doctors are saying and then trying to subscribe to a healthy way of eating, but then this medicine keeps me from being able to eat this vegetable. It's mind-boggling how much my mother and my father have had to deal with their health. And you have to step back and go, okay, again, if I read that particular post, I could feel like such a failure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I am nothing in the enemy. Ooh, there's a good foothold there.
Yeah.
I am nothing. I am not worthy. I am not this. I'm not that. First of all, and I don't really like the terminology worthy. For me, that kind of has negative baggage to it in today's society. You are worthy. The Bible allows me to, I'm not worthy.
Right.
Yeah. He is worthy.
Yeah.
And it's by grace alone that I get to ride his coattails, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
But I'm so glad you brought that up. I champion for people who are on these incredible endeavors to be healthier people. But you're right. We beat ourselves up if for some reason there's a roadblock along the way.
Yeah.
God might have something, maybe. That's not the road I'm supposed to be going down. There might be a side path here that he has.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Just getting back, I think my whole point in all of this, and the other thing that I'll bring up too, are we rubbernecking at the thing, at this good thing? I want that body too, or whatever. And we're not sticking to the path that God has for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think overall, you know, I don't want to get too deep into that because I think we can over-spiritualize that sometimes. I think, what's the path that God has us for? Well, being redeemed by him and letting others know about that.
Yes.
You want to know your purpose? There you go.
Yeah.
Now, has he given me unique gifts, talents, and abilities and all that too? Yes, but I think there's free will. I think there's, you know, I don't think it's this like soulmates kind of thing. We okay. do that with career and, yeah. and stuff too, where there's not one soulmate for us on earth. We, there's yeah. a lot of eligible candidates of people that I find attractive or intelligent, or obviously, hopefully faith comes into a part of that.
No, I get what you're saying.
You know, we kind of mystify some of that too about God's plan for our life.
We do that.
But I do think that we can just, we take our cues from society and we gawk. And might I suggest in this, my final point. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Let me say this verse. I have this verse pulled up. As an alternative for what my friend posted. Mm. This is Hebrews 4:9-11. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. Mm-hmm. That's the first part of 11, not all of 11.
Which, but, by the way, is an act of participation.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's not like, oh, so you're just going to slack off? No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
I'm going to have boundaries.
You have to intentionally go, I'm going to lay this down.
Sure. Yeah, that's good. That's good. So with this final point, might I say that in the year 2024, that is an election year.
That oh, gosh.
We will inevitably, as yes. a people,
mm-hmm.
gawk. We yeah. will rubberneck. And this is an important thing. Because I don't, everything we're going to rubberneck at doesn't mean it's not important either.
Mm-hmm.
We will rubberneck and we will think this is all that I need to be looking at.
Yeah.
And in my path is the way that I should be treating people regardless of what's going on. So you're going to have two candidates. I think by now we probably know who the two candidates are going to be once again. And you know what happened last time. It's one side versus the other. And Christians feel differently on this issue too. And we're going to treat this as the most important thing of all time. And again, let me say, it is important. I mean, it's the president of the United States, for crying out loud.
Yeah, and we should be praying over the position.
But we know that God has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that I can control, I mean, yes, voting and all that, but the only thing I can truly control is how I treat people in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And we have done a terrible job. Just, I'm not even like, Christians have really done a bad. No, everybody in America generally has done not a great job. At least the ones that post
mm-hmm.
have done not a great job of making sure to cool that and go, how I treat the people around me is more important even than this election.
I think the only way that you can treat the people around you with the proper respect that God would have you treat them, to love your neighbor, first you have to assess where you are.
Mm.
You have to look at, how are you reactionary? When do you get triggered? Why does this bother you? And you need to talk to the Lord, because this is something that I'm doing lately. I'm like, we just did this assessment test where we work, and there's a zillion of them out there. I did a Star Wars one once where I was Han Solo. That was my character type.
That's a good one.
If yeah. I couldn't be Leia, Han Solo.
That's a good choice, yeah.
But anyway, this was helpful in putting a mirror in front of my face saying, hey, here are your pros. Here's where you struggle. And it's not, here's your card for being a jerk. No, it's
right. Right.
This is actually something I want to work on. So why do I get triggered when I see this in social media, from my family at the dinner table, mm-hmm. from that, whatever it is that regarding politics or whatever it is.
Sure. Sure.
Why am I reacting the way I am, whether it's quiet and calm and pretending like it's not happening, or too reactionary where it's just vulgar?
I'll tell you mine. I hate it when misinformation is presented.
Mm-hmm.
And it really bugs me when it's about Christianity.
Right.
And people that throw out these myths, people that will say there's no evidence that Jesus even existed, and they'll stick to that. And they really, I guess they believe it. I think most don't. I think most know that they just heard somebody say it, now they're repeating it. But man, it bugs me to no end. Because what I don't mind, I really don't, is if we have all accurate information, if there's a legit debate, you know, like a William Lane Craig and Richard Dawkins, which Richard Dawkins is too scared to debate William Lane Craig, but that's a conversation for another time. here's one. Now, let me finish this statement. If there's a legit debate where we're fact-checking and they've presented both sides, and then people walk out of there and go, I'm still an atheist. Like, okay. That's your decision.
Yeah.
And all of that. But when things like, Richard Dawkins wrote a book some years ago, I think it was In the God Delusion, because this is the big atheist. You know who I'm talking about, right? He's a scientist that's an atheist, and he was really like the big atheist of the 2000s and early 2010s. He's still around. And he wrote this book, The God Delusion.
You're asking me like I know. This is what I stay away from.
This would be because of getting triggered? Is that why?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, here we go. I'm going to trigger you.
Please don't trigger me.
He goes, he wrote something to the effect that there's not really even good evidence that Jesus existed in this book. Mm-hmm. And true scholars know that's not true.
Right.
A recent interview, somebody asked him about it and he said, maybe I didn't give it enough time to, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, you lied.
Yeah.
Like you lied about it. And so that's the thing that, and politics too, but this is just the biggest one for me. I hate misinformation. Mm-hmm. And so that's one where I have to recognize somebody posted this. Mm-hmm. I hate that so many people sometimes are going to see it and just take it and just think it and spread it themselves.
Yeah.
But I can't control every single post on the internet.
No.
You can't. I mean, you can never possibly do that.
Whenever I've taken those types of thought into account and get frustrated about them, because there have been many times. And with social media, it's just, there's just so many more opportunities for misinformation to be exploited. Mm-hmm. For people to be exploited.
Yeah, that's true.
But here's a story. My husband had a stalker.
Wow.
It was not a good situation. And once that kind of smoothed over, she did start calling him back at the radio station where he was working for a while. And he felt an obligation as a person who loved Jesus to try to be of some ministerial help to her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He felt bad.
And I said, you are way too close to this situation to be of any earthly good or heavenly good for that matter to this woman who is completely not in a place of hearing anything but goo goo gaga stuff from you. Okay.
Yeah.
She wants something that you're not willing to give and you're not going to be the source for her. By the way, the only source is God. He does not need you or me in a social media place.
True.
He asks for participation. We see that even with the building of the tabernacle. People have said, I don't want that relationship like you have with Moses. God said, I will find what I can work with. Would you consider participating in bringing your gold and your gifts so that we can build this tabernacle? He did not enforce it. But he received if they were willing and people were willing. So there are going to be people out there you cannot force into believing any which way. And in fact, you can't force anybody to believe any which way. You are not necessarily held accountable for the things that another chooses to say in those forums. Mm-hmm. But God is God. And just because that dingo, I meant to say dingbat, but I said dingo.
H-O-baby.
That dingbat. In that particular forum who went off for that thing, can I, and this is what I told my husband back in the day, can you trust that God is sovereign enough that can send another person in there to help that young woman? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It doesn't depend on you.
Sure. Yeah.
In fact, none of this is a need. He wants our participation. He can mend the things that are broken that we see and we're concerned about. We can pray. We should pray. We can speak as much as we can speak. But all of these concerns about other people, God is the one who says, lay at my feet these burdens and find rest in me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I knew as soon as I heard that, I honestly just heard this a few minutes ago, just the idea of not getting distracted from your mission.
Yeah.
And I knew this is so multifaceted. You know, from we covered Little League, we covered election, we covered
community college.
Then there's the third time. Thank you very much. Again, I'm sure he was a great player.
And this has been the Anything But Quiet Time podcast.
Thank you for everything. If you want to watch or listen the other, just text the word quiet to the number 893-893.